Before there was the NFL draft, before there was the Rocket Mortgage Classic or any of these other high-profile events, there has always been the North American International Auto Show. And it became this international event under the guidance of a gentleman by the name of Rod Alberts, who we all know well. Well, Rod is fixing to call it a career and has chosen a successor. And his name is Steve Clement. We welcome them both to JR Morning. Sam Clement, excuse me. Sam, Rod, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, guy.
Sam, you come out of our ranks. You're a broadcaster.
That's correct. Yeah, I ran the Michigan Association of Broadcasters for about the past 3 years and was a lifelong journalist before that. And so definitely a change of pace for me here.
Rod, say it ain't so. I just got to say, after this is a 35-year friendship, I hate to see you go, but you just felt, why now?
You can still be friends, Guy.
I know. We will still see each other.
You know, and Guy, when you first came in, you know, I was in my early 30s, and I thought, man, you came in here and you're great on the, you know, the radio and TV and all that, but I thought, how can anybody know so much about cars? You knew more about cars than I did. But we do go way back in so many ways, and the show's been great for the city, the economic impact, and for charities and all that too. But, you know, all these years that I've been here, 34 years, you know, there's a point in time that you gotta hand it over to the new future and vision and somebody that can take it to the next level. And Sam's a guy. And by the way, he is good behind the mic. I've watched him in action. He's pretty doggone good.
well, Rod, what advice do you have for Sam as he steps into that new role?
You know, I think to really be the person that you are, be straightforward and take your ideas and run with them. Don't be afraid to take a chance. This is kind of industry that we're all in, that we have to take that step forward and take a risk here and there, calculate it, and really look forward. He's got an opportunity to do some things even that I didn't get a chance to do, and I think he's got to be that person that I do believe he is that'll step it up to another level. And you just can't wait on the sideline. You got to go after it.
Sam, you're a young guy. You're just 39 years old. What fresh ideas are you bringing to this role?
Well, young is relative, you know.
I know.
I think, you know, the exciting part of this transition is I get to spend a number of months with Rod. You know, he's going to stay on through the 2025 show. And as, you know, Guy alluded to earlier, you know, I'm coming from a different industry. And so I have an opportunity to sit back and learn and absorb as much information as I can over the next couple of months and really learn from the staff at the DADA, which I think is super exciting. And then kind of assess after the 2025 show and really try to kind of put my mark on it moving forward from then. So right now it's very much a listen and learn phase, and I'm excited about that.
And Rod, looking ahead to the 2025 show, I mean, what can people expect from the event under the co-direction of you and Sam?
You know, I think it's going to be a lot of opportunity because of the transition, and Sam brings new ideas and a bit of the culture that of the younger buyer and which comes with that, and the technology of what they see they want us to have in the cars. And, you know, with what we find going back to January, you know, we had the show in January for so many years, and we decided to give it a chance to look in September, to do some outdoor things that we haven't had a chance to do before. But truly what January brings is an opportunity to get people out after having some cabin fever in January. They look forward to something to do. And September is very competitive with other going up north and football games. We're excited to do something indoor with a lot more activations, put people in cars, technology, and look to the future of what mobility means, which could be flying cars. You know, we know about that guy.
We do. Landed one on the Detroit River a couple years ago. It's good fun. I got to ask you, though, we know that the nature of the auto show, not just ours, but every auto show, has evolved. And Sam, to the point coming from the broadcast sector, I think it's some of our colleagues that are the ones that need to be helped along in this transition, because they're still kind of in the press room. They're still like, well, it's not like it used to be. We don't have all these big concept cars. We don't have these. It's about what we don't have instead of about what we do have, which are these cool activations, and that the new auto show is much more customer focused than media focused.
Yeah, I think that's a real opportunity. Oh, go ahead, Rod.
No, go ahead, Sam. You're on it.
So, yeah, you know, how do you change that narrative amongst our colleagues?
like, I think that's an opportunity, right? I think, you know, to spark some new energy. And the biggest part of any auto show is getting people behind the wheel, getting them engaged, as Rod mentioned, with those activations. And I think if you do that in a way that's engaging and brings a lot of energy, I've said it a number of times, like, right now, Detroit has a real energy, a real spirit behind it coming off of the draft and some other events. And so I think we can really tap into that consumer experience, which I think will ultimately drive that good experience for our media partners. And yes, you know, it's great to have the unveils, and that's super important. And we're really going to work to get to that. But I think the biggest thing is just having that good customer experience. I think will really drive some media attention and excitement as well.
And, you know, broadcasting is changing too. And so knowing that this transition is happening in both sectors, I think, is helpful to you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm coming off of an industry that, as you guys know, as well as anyone, there are some major challenges. And, you know, in my previous role, we were able to carve out some initiatives and programs that kind of set the mark on a national level. And I think that's the same kind of approach I'm going to bring here. But like I said, I have a lot to learn in a short period of time, but I think if I can take that same approach, we can have a lot of success.
Rod, you know, you've had over 30 years in this industry, and just what do you see as the defining characteristic that made the Detroit Auto Show such an iconic show over the years?
Yeah, you know, first of all, that in the early 90s, when we started this transition to the internationalizing, there was a need in the U.S. for having a show that stood out like Frankfurt and Paris and Tokyo, and we just grabbed that one by the horns and ran with it. And we had to set it up that we became a stage to the world. And the key to the whole thing was making sure that we were that runway, that fashion runway for cars and the future of what was happening at the time and current with the cars you could buy. But, you know, that to me, that was a defining part of it. We just set ourselves apart, taking a little bit from all over the world and placing it here in Detroit and making sure we stood out as the Motor City. Now I got to tell you, the acceleration of change has been so great the last 4 years. I think the toughest thing for people is to having such a show that stood out in a different sort of way with big displays, three-store displays and all that we had invested in the show or the manufacturers, going to a show that became more consumer-friendly with activations and putting people in the seat of those cars and enjoy the technology and learn about the technology. We're more of an education tool now, too. Mm-hmm. So it's just accepting the change and the evolution of it all.
Right. Well, it should be pointed out, too, that a lot of those international shows, Rod, that you emulated when building the NAIAS, they don't exist anymore, many of them.
No. Well, you know, it's a great point. The big shows like Geneva, they took a five-year hiatus, and when they came back, it was very difficult because they just didn't have the core of the dealer body in Geneva to do such a show, and no manufacturers really behind it. Then you had a Frankfurt show, which was really the big daddy of all shows, ended up moving to Munich. So all these things that have changed an auto show business in general impacted us too. But the key to the whole thing now is having somebody like Sam come in with a new vision and a new understanding of what the new buyer wants and what the world wants out of mobility and a trillion-dollar industry and really grabbing it and running with it. And Sam's got that.
Well, Sam, welcome to the Auto Wars. And you know, the nice thing is having it in January. That has a real potential to juice auto sales here in the first quarter in the metro area, and I know the dealers appreciate that opportunity as well.
Yeah, we're really excited. I appreciate the welcome and excited to get to work.
All right. Well, it is about telling the stories of the new cars, and if you're a storyteller, it's one of the richest fields to plow, I'll tell you. I've had great fun there for the last 35 years. So, Sam, Rod, continued success. We look forward to January.
Guy,
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. We really appreciate it and look forward to what Sam's got in store.
And it's the only thing we look forward to in January, just saying.
That's right.
And can confirm, right, well. Guy knows a lot about cars.
Oh, yeah.
That is a fact. It's amazing.
Yeah, but Rod was my tutor for a lot of that. So, gentlemen, we look forward to singing the praises of the new show as you develop it. And we're always here as a partner. You know that.
Thanks so much.
Thank you
guys
so much.
Wonderful at WGR. We appreciate all you do.
All right. Thank you, guys. When we come back, the Wayne County Juvenile Justice Center, another scandal. This one has the Wayne County prosecutor saying it's the worst thing she's ever seen. That says a lot. That's next on JR Morning. You know, Consumers Energy is leading the way to a cleaner, more reliable energy future. And last year, they completed 150 major upgrades all across Lower Peninsula communities. Things like clearing tree branches for more than 7,000 miles of power line. That would stretch from here to South Korea. They've upgraded or rebuilt substations. They've added smart tech that helps limit the number and length of power outages. The good news here, 90% of customers were restored in less than 24 hours in 2023. But they know their work's not done. They want to push that number higher. They know their number one job is to keep your lights on. You can count on Consumers Energy.